This is the story of Shaul and the special shofar. Shaul lived on a little island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. The name of the island was Jujukaba. There was only a few hundred people on the island, but it was a really nice place to live. They had a baseball field, and a soccer field, and a basketball court. They even had a moon bounce park with a moon bounce and an inflatable water slide. And of course they had a really nice synagogue and a yeshiva where everybody could learn Torah. Oh, and there was a giant volcano on the north side of the island that could erupt at any moment and destroy the entire island. Anyway, though, being a small island, sometimes it was hard for them to get supplies. Like, if you wanted marshmallows, you had to fill out 6 different forms, sign 14 different customs waivers, and that was just for mini marshmallows. If you wanted jumbo marshmallows, you needed a little bit of help from heaven. So this is what they did. Every year before Tishrei, a ship would come from Eretz Yisrael and bring them everything they needed for the high holidays. It would bring enough lulav and etrog sets for the entire island, kittles, those white robes that all the men wear on Yom Kippur, and of course, plenty of apples and honey for Rosh Hashanah. The ship was set to come the day before Rosh Hashanah to make sure all the apples were fresh and the lulav and etrogs were in pristine condition. That morning, Shaul and his friends went out to the baseball field to play a little game before the ship arrived. They were so excited for the shipment to come. Everybody was talking about what kind of etrog they would get. Big, small, yellow, green, pitzum, no pitzum. It was a pretty big deal on Jujukaba. Shaul's friend Yerachmiel said, "Okay guys, if anybody gets a home run today, that person will get the first pick of all the etrogs." Shaul said, "First pick of all the etrogs? The etrog is symbolic of the heart. If I get a perfect etrog, Hashem will fill my heart with all kinds of awesome stuff." Shaul stepped up to the plate. The pitcher pitched the ball, and Shaul smacked it all the way out of the park. But it didn't stop there. It passed all the houses in the neighborhood, and it went all the way into the house of the island's rabbi, Rabbi Rossman. Crack! Right through the window. Rabbi Rossman came running out of his house, holding a broken shofar. He said, "No! Lo aleinu!" Everyone ran over. They said, "Oh no!" He said, "My shofar! Our island's only shofar! You cracked it!" There was a giant crack the entire length of the shofar. It was totally possible, forbidden to be used on Rosh Hashanah. He said, "What are we gonna do? Rosh Hashanah starts in 10 hours. Our supplies from Eretz Yisrael are gonna be here any minute. We can't order another shofar now. What are we gonna do?" He said, "Who did this?" Everybody looked at Shaul. He said, "I just wanted a really nice etrog." And they said, "Shaul, how is breaking a window with the baseball going to help you get a nice etrog?" And he said, "But they said that if I got a home run, then they would..." Everyone said, "Stop it, Shaul. Now you get the last pick of etrogs. You can have one of those mushy ones with all the brown dots at the bottom of the box." Shaul said, "No, I hit a home run, guys." "Rabbi, can't we just glue your shofar back together?" Rabbi Rossman said, "Sorry, Shaul, but your incredibly accurate baseball swing hit the shofar in the exact spot that cracked it completely lengthwise. So, unfortunately, it can't be fixed." Shaul said, "Wow, guys, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. What can I do to fix the situation?" Rabbi Rossman said, "Well, Shaul, you're going to have to find us a new shofar." Shaul said, "Oh, okay, so I'll find a new shofar. Where exactly do I get a shofar from?" Rabbi Rossman said, "Shaul, shofars come from the horns of kosher animals." Shaul said, "Perfect, so I'll just go down to Mordecai's cow farm and get a cow horn." Rabbi Rossman said, "Chas v'shalom, Shaul. We do not want to use a cow shofar. For one thing, a cow's horn isn't even called a shofar. It's called a keren, a horn. And we don't want to remind Hashem that we sinned with the chida egel, the golden calf, when the Jews bowed to a golden cow in the Torah." Shaul said, "But Rabbi Rossman, we don't have any other animals with horns on our island." Rabbi Rossman said, "You're right, Shaul. You're absolutely right. We don't have any more kosher animals with horns on this island. But hear me out. I think I have an idea. Given that you're so talented at hitting baseballs, and we all desperately want to hear a shofar this year, I think our only course of action is wait for you to become so good at baseball that you become a professional baseball player, and then with all the money you make as a professional baseball player, you can buy the world's first time machine and go back in time and not hit that baseball that broke my shofar." Shaul said, "Sheesh, I'm sorry, Rabbi. I didn't mean to break your shofar." Rabbi Rossman said, "I know, Shaul, I know. I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit upset. And I've also got a broken window on my house now, so yeah." Just then, the oldest man on the island, Elkanon, came over and grabbed the shofar from Rabbi Rossman's hands. He said, "I've seen worse. When I was a boy, they came on Erev Rosh Hashanah and took our apples and replaced them with starfish. You ever been forced to dip a starfish into honey, Rabbi?" Rabbi Rossman said, "No, I can't say I have. You know what, Shaul? I might have overreacted." Elkanon continued, "When I moved to Jejukaba, I thought I would never have to deal with the bad men ever again. I thought my days of hardship were over. I thought I could spend my Rosh Hashanahs in peace. But I guess Hashem planned otherwise. I'll tell you where you can find a shofar, lad. You thought getting marshmallows was difficult? You're gonna have to venture to the volcano. Legend has it there's an ancient Forkle of Kudu. They've been here since the day of creation. No other creature can get so close to the volcano. They call them magma mammoths. If you can get close to them, you might be able to grab one of their horns. They're kosher. That's what Yemenites use." Shaul said, "Elkanon, what are you talking about? What is a Forkle of Kudu?" Elkanon said, "What's a pride of lions? It's what you call a group of kudu. Don't they teach you anything in this crazy island school?" Rabbi Rossman said, "Elkanon, we've all heard that legend of the kudu by the volcano, but I find it pretty hard to fathom that any creature could live that close to an active volcano. Unless maybe they eat liquid magma as a snack. Even if they had horns, they would probably melt off." Shaul said, "Well, I don't want to remind Hashem about Avodah Zara that we did in the Midbar. And I don't want to glue together not kosher shofar. I want a kosher shofar this Rosh Hashanah. And I'm going to get it." And Shaul grabbed his stuff and started walking off toward the volcano. Shaul looked at his watch. Rosh Hashanah was starting in just a few hours. He walked over to Yerachmiel. He said, "Yerachmiel, you have an electric scooter, don't you?" Yerachmiel said, "Yeah, I do. It cost me 5 years of allowance and was nearly impossible to get imported onto the island, but yeah, I have one." Shaul said, "Yerachmiel, you got me into this mess. Now you need to give me that electric scooter so I can get us all a kosher shofar for Rosh Hashanah." Yerachmiel said, "Shaul, you're right. It was my fault. Here, take my scooter. May Hashem bless your path, my friend." Shaul flicked up the scooter's kickstand and blasted off toward the volcano. After half an hour of traveling, there were no more trees. It was too hot for anything to live over there. All that was on the ground was dried molten rock. Shaul took out a bottle of water, said the bracha shehakol, and took a sip. He said, "Hashem, I could really use a little bit of siyata dishmaya right now. Heavenly help. I just wanted a really nice etrog. What if the whole island doesn't hear a kosher shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What will be our judgment for the year? I mean, everything's decided on Rosh Hashanah. Good or bad, rich or poor, life or death. Hashem, please, please, even if we don't hear a shofar this year, please keep this volcano from erupting and destroying the entire island. And I promise we'll be extra good. Suddenly, Shaul heard a howling sound from the volcano. Shaul said, "Oh no! Hashem is angry! It's happening!" He jumped on Yerachmiel's scooter and started to speed away. But then he listened closely, and the sound from the volcano sounded like somebody yelling for help. They were yelling, "Help! Please help!" Shaul said, "What on earth could that be?" He very carefully steered the scooter over to the mouth of the volcano, and he peered inside. All he saw was bubbling liquid hot magma swirling around. It was bright orange, yellow, and there was something shiny sticking out from inside. From inside the volcano, he heard, "Help! Please help!" He realized there was some sort of creature inside the volcano. He said, "How could something be inside there? It must be 1,000 degrees in there." The voice said, "Actually, it's closer to 2,000. Could you, like, throw me a rope or something, dude?" Shaul looked around. All he saw was miles and miles of magmatic rock. He said, "I'm sorry, guy. I don't have anything to throw in to help you with. Can I ask you a question, though? How did you get in there?" The voice said, "You're never going to believe this, but I got some jumbo marshmallows, and I was trying to roast them on the magma, and, well, I fell in." Shula said, "Really? You got jumbo marshmallows?" The voice said, "Yeah, they're in here somewhere, although they're pretty toasted, to be honest." Shula said, "Wow." He looked down and he noticed that there was a cable coming from under Yerachmiel's scooter. He pulled it out. Yerachmiel had a super long metal cable lock. Shaul stretched it out. He said, "Hey, why don't you grab onto this?" He swung it around and flipped it into the magma. Whatever was in the magma grabbed on, and Shaul started pulling it out. He pulled with all his might. Finally, the creature was able to grab onto the edge of the volcano and pull itself up. Standing in front of Shaul was a giant, multicolored, horse-like creature with one horn. Shaul said, "Are you a unicorn?" The creature said, "My name is Timothy." Shaul said, "Oh, hi, Timothy. It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry, but you look a lot like pictures I've seen of unicorns. Are you sure you're not a unicorn?" Timothy said, "Would a unicorn be able to withstand liquid hot magma in the mouth of a volcano?" Shaul said, "I'm not sure. I don't think anyone's actually seen a live unicorn before." Timothy said, "Well, I don't think I'm a unicorn." As Timothy stood there in front of Shaul like some kind of majestic beast from another planet, Shaul couldn't help but staring at his giant horn. Shaul said, "Wow, that is quite a horn you've got there." Timothy said, "Oh, you like this?" "Yeah, it gets the job done. I can roast like 30 marshmallows on this thing." Shaul said, "Timothy, do you happen to know if you're a kosher animal?" Timothy said, "Well, how would I know if I'm kosher?" Shaul said, "How do you know if you're kosher? This is a question for a rabbi. Timothy, would you mind coming with me to the other side of the island for just a little bit? I want to ask a friend a question about you." Timothy said, "What's on the other half of the island?" Shaul said, "You've never been to the other half of the island? We have everything there. We have a synagogue and a baseball field." Timothy said, "I'd like to daven by myself." Shaul said, "Oh, well, we also have a moon bounce, and an inflatable water slide. Timothy said, inflatable water slide? Get on my back, my friend. I'm going to gallop faster than that little scooter of yours could ever go. Shaul jumped onto Timothy's back as the sun was getting closer and closer to setting. It was almost Rosh Hashanah. They galloped into town, but nobody was around. Shaul said, where is everyone? And then he looked down to the harbor, and he saw a giant boat docked. Everyone was pulling boxes of apples and honey, kittles, lulav and etrogs, and all the other supplies from Eretz Yisrael. As they strode up, everyone was staring at Timothy. They pulled up to Rabbi Rossman. He said, Shaul, what did you find? Is that a kudu? Elkanan said, that ain't no kudu. Shaul said, Rabbi Rossman, this is my friend Timothy. Is he kosher? Rabbi Rossman said, oh, hi, Timothy. Timothy, what kind of animal are you? A bunch of people yelled out, Rabbi, he's a unicorn. Look at him. Rabbi Rossman said, a unicorn? Really? I don't think so. But look at that horn. We're going to have to take him to the island's exotic animal specialist, Dr. Lorraine. But they said, Rabbi, it's almost Rosh Hashanah. He said, I know, and we need a shofar. Timothy said, what's a shofar? Rabbi Rossman said, Timothy, come with me. They quickly ran over to Dr. Lorraine's house. She was putting out apples and honey and making the house really nice for Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Rossman said, Dr. Lorraine, you need to help us. Please tell us, what is this creature that Shaul brought back from the volcano? Dr. Lorraine looked up and said, oh my goodness, it can't be. She walked over to her bookshelf and she pulled out a book. She flipped it open and inside was a creature that looked exactly like Timothy. She said, I know what this is. A tachash, the multicolored animal that was used for the cover of the Mishkan. Hashem created the tachash thousands of years ago to use its beautiful skins as a cover for the place where his presence dwelled. Rabbi Rossman said, that's amazing. But I thought the tachash went extinct thousands of years ago. Timothy said, oh, that would explain what happened to all my family. They were used as a cover for the Mishkan. Wow! I was wondering where they went. Dr. Lorraine said, Timothy, what have you been doing all this time? Timothy said, oh, you know, I've been here and there. I was really enjoying hanging out by that volcano. I mean, until I fell in. I didn't know you guys had an inflatable water slide down here, though. I would have been hanging with you guys. Shaul looked at the clock. He said, Rabbi, Rosh Hashanah is in 30 minutes. Rabbi Rossman said, Timothy, let me ask you a question. And don't take this the wrong way. We really need a shofar for Rosh Hashanah. Because Shaul here cracked mine, and we don't have another one on the island. Timothy said, oh, that's too bad. How can I help, Rabbi? Rabbi Rossman said, well, we need a horn of a kosher animal. Before I go any further, can you tell me a couple things about yourself? Timothy said, sure, Rabbi. Ask away. Rabbi Rossman said, Timothy, do you have split hooves? Timothy lifted up his hoof. He said, I think so. Is this split? The rabbi looked down, and there was a big old cleft down the middle of his hoof. Rabbi Rossman said, okay, that's one sign you're kosher. Also, when you eat food, does it come back up again and then you chew it a second time? That's called rumination, or chewing the cud, and that's the other thing that would decide if you're kosher or not. Timothy said, wow, you know what? That does happen. I was always wondering why that happened. I've always just been so thankful that I could enjoy my marshmallows multiple times. Dr. Lorraine pointed to her book. She said, look, it says right here. According to most rabbis, the tachash is a kosher species. Everyone stared at Timothy and his long, glistening horn. He said, what are you looking at, guys? She said, Timothy, I really like you. I mean, you're a great tachash. We have an issue here, though. Rosh Hashanah is going to be starting in just a few minutes, and well, we don't have a kosher shofar. Dmitri said, okay, so do you want me to order you one? I have an Amazon account. Shul said, no, that's nice of you, but we were hoping that we could use your horn. Dmitri said, my horn? My horn? I don't know if it would make a good shofar. But you know what? I'm willing to help out the cause. Just like my ancestors. I want to give whatever I can to serve Hashem. Rabbi Rosman said, okay, Timothy, so that means that we're going to have to cut your horn off. Timothy said, what? Cut my horn off? Are you insane? Everyone sighed. Rabbi Rosman said, well, we tried our best. I guess we won't have a shofar this year. Timothy said, why would you want to cut off my horn? I mean, it's already detached. Timothy plucked off his horn. It wasn't even attached to his body. He said, this thing snapped off years ago. I had a little snorkeling accident. There was a cargo ship full of jumbo marshmallows that sank. And well, I got in a little bit of a skirmish with a lobster. Now it's just held on by a couple of lumber screws. You guys are totally free to use it. I just need it back at some point. Timothy tossed the horn to Rabbi Rosman. He took out a little hand drill and drilled a hole in the very top. Everyone said, Rabbi, try it, see if it works. He put the horn in his mouth. He said, Hashem, please help us out here. And he blew into the shofar with all his heart. Everyone said, what was that? Rabbi Rosman said, it works! Everyone cheered. He said, Shaul, you saved us! Timothy, we love you! Everyone went home and lit candles for Rosh Hashanah, and that year was the greatest shofar blowing that anyone on Jejukaba had ever heard in their entire lives.